Abstinenz kann uns so dicker Kopie für dich.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. So today, the first thing that we will focus on is the aspect of performing Salah with Jama'ah. Now, I know this is something that is emphasized time and time again. We all hear it from people, we hear it from ulama, we hear it in ta'aleem. But it's emphasized time and time again for a reason. Sometimes we think, you know, why certain things, they keep getting repeated. So the more important something is, and secondly, the more people are lacking in it, the more it needs to be mentioned. And Salah with Jama'ah is one aspect. Because if we look into the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what was the importance of Salah with Jama'ah at that time, and we compare it to now, there is a huge difference. And huge difference doesn't mean huge difference in the people who don't have religious worry. No, no, huge difference in the people who have a religious worry. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not someone would think that shall I perform Salah with Jama'ah or not. It was unprecedented. Someone would perform Salah with Jama'ah to this extent that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would conclude that if someone regularly doesn't turn up for Salah with Jama'ah, he can't be a Muslim, he's a munafiq. So that is sufficient to tell us that it wouldn't even cross a Muslim's mind that Salah with Jama'ah and I don't go. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized this as well. So we need to give it the same importance. Sometimes we fall into a trap of if I can do it, I'll do it. If you know it's not within the timetable today, maybe the timetable is a bit different. I want to do this, I want to do that. Then I'll put it to one side. No, if a person has a legitimate excuse, that is a different issue. He is unwell. He is at work, and time is of constraint. He is elsewhere. He is distant from a masjid. One hadith comes to mind that one sahabi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu, who was a blind sahabi, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that, am I excused from going for Salah with Jama'ah? Of course, being blind, he has a bit more difficulty. Sometimes depending on the weather, etc., he may need a guide as well. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. So he began walking away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him back. He called him back because he must have given an answer, and then revelation came that no, edit your answer. He asked him that when the adhan goes off, does it reach your ears? In those times, there was no receiver system, etc. That's how adhan was spread. It was recited from a loud place by a person with a loud voice. And the houses were not the houses of our day that, you know, there's a thick roof, there's thick walls, etc. So the sound used to reach very far. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, does the sound of the adhan reach your ears? So he said yes. Then he said, then you must go. This is blind sahabi. Although the fuqaha said he was a sahabi, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes especially depending on the person, he would teach them to live at a higher standard. But despite that, what I am saying is the emphasis. So let us also make this a mentality that no, if there is no legitimate excuse for me to perform Salah with Jama'ah, then I will make it a point. Just like I make it a point that if we were to go in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would realize that the importance people give to performing Salah, the religious people, they give almost the same importance to performing it with Jama'ah. So let us also make that mentality. If there is no legitimate excuse, just like we give importance to performing Salah, we also give importance to performing it with Jama'ah. And if we feel there is an excuse, then think carefully that, you know, is it actually an excuse? So we have a list of, now I don't wish to spend too long on here because we have a few different things to go through today. But first there is a list of some of the rewards of and some of the benefits of Salah with Jama'ah. And it is a very quick list. I haven't bothered to put a hadith here in detail, so we can get through it quickly. First, the reward, 25 to 27 times the reward of Salah at home. This is very well known. A second point, reward similar to a hajj, to a haji. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions this. Now, of course, hajj has many other benefits as well. But in terms of reward, Salah with Jama'ah, a person gets a reward similar to that of a haji. And there is a famous incident mentioned in the books of history regarding the first reward. There was a person, that name escapes my memory, a pious saint of the past, that he was very, very punctual with Salah with Jama'ah. Now, one day, circumstances meant that he didn't make it for Salah with Jama'ah. So he missed the Salah with Jama'ah. So he thought to himself, see, when we miss out on reward, we don't think, oh, any big deal. But the people of the past did think it was a big deal. So he thought, the thought kept coming in his mind that today, the Salah I performed today, I didn't get that 25 times reward, that 27 times reward. So he thought to himself that, tell, let me go home and perform nafil equal to 25 times the Salah. So if it was, let's say it was the Dhuhr Salah, of, you know, 4 rakats Farz. So he went home and performed 4 rakats nafil Salah 27 times. And then he felt happy that, you know, alhamdulillah, I will have gained the same reward. That night when he went to sleep, then he saw a dream. And in the dream, a voice said to him that you have performed the Salah 25, 27 times. But what about the Ameen of the angels? What about the Ameen of the angels? This was referring to a specific virtue of Salah with Jama'ah, which is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the Imam recites Surah Fatiha and he says Waladdallin, and if you say Ameen, then the angels also say Ameen at that time. So if you say Ameen, then when your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the angels, then all your sins are forgiven. So the voice in the dream was telling him that you may have received the reward of the same number of rakats, but that virtue you cannot receive. So these are very, very valuable virtues. Someone just yesterday, because sometimes we keep hearing these virtues, so we think, okay, alhamdulillah, I'll get it. We'll only realize the value of it when our eyes close and it's in front of us. The number two, total serenity on the day of resurrection. The narration mentions that yafza'un an-nas yafza'un wa la yafza', that people will be frightened on the day of judgment. And someone who has this quality of Salah with Jama'ah, he will no fright, he will be calm. The company of pious people and the angels, out the religious people in the locality, you will find them in the masjid. So every, see, we think Salah for Jama'ah, no, Salah for Jama'ah, it has many other benefits. Allah Ta'ala, if he wished, he could have made it that Salah is performed at home. Many other zakat, you don't have to perform in collective nature, don't you? That you have to find out when other people are giving the zakat and that's when you give the zakat. No, you don't. So there are plenty of other worships that you don't have to perform altogether. So Salah could have been the same. But Salah was made collective for a reason. And out of the reasons, one reason is that when a person comes to the masjid, then one reason is that good company, pious company is very, very important for a person's spiritual condition. And when you go to the masjid, automatically you will be receiving pious company. A significant number of pious people you will see there. It's not necessary. You might not know he's a pious person. You might think he's an ordinary Muslim. But there are plenty of ordinary Muslims that if you were to look into that, you would realize they are very pious. And you are receiving the benefits of your company, just their company, just by coming before Salah. That is why, and if it is for reasons like this. For example, another effect is that they are receiving the company of the angels. The masjid is the place where angels are the most concentrated. And the shayateen are the weakest. That is why in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person decides to leave the masjid, you have to leave the masjid after sometime. When a person decides to leave the masjid, then the shayateen gather at the door. How do they gather? Just like you have a queen bee and bees are gathered around her. So that's what level of crowd of angels, of shayateen gather at the door. Why? Because they cannot influence a person to the same level in the masjid. So there are so many other side benefits. And that is why if a person starts performing salah with jama'ah with the regularity, then he will see that so many other things in of deen are falling into place as well. The attention and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith it is mentioned that Allah ta'ala, the person who comes to the masjid, he's a guest of Allah ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala honors him. Allah ta'ala honors means, what does that mean? That means Allah ta'ala will look after him. But a guest comes to your house, you look after him. A guest comes to your house, you try your best to fulfill his needs. What's your program in Batley? You're going here, you're going there. And then you help him, you give him directives. So the same thing happens when a person makes a point of coming to the masjid. Number 5, increase in strength of the amal due to the congregation. What does this mean? So we have all felt this. A number of people are performing tilawah in the masjid. And you said it's much easier to perform tilawah. Compared to at home, sometimes you can read for double the amount of time you read at home. So in the same way, this is one reason that the congregation has been formed. The dua of the angels. I'm going through this very quickly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person performs salah, as long as he sits in his place, and the ulama said, sits in his place means remains in the masjid. As long as he remains in the masjid, in the state of wudu, the angels continuously make dua for him. What dua? Allah forgive him and grant him mercy. Allah forgive him, grant him mercy. Allah forgive him, grant him mercy. Continuous dua. Words of deeni advice. Person sometimes doesn't come with the intention of deeni advice, but Allah Ta'ala has willed it, some deeni advice is delivered, maybe a few sentences, maybe from the imam, maybe from someone other than the imam, and he benefits. Number 8, a free boost in the quality of salah through the imam. I touched upon this last week. When we perform salah behind the imam is a representative to present our salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the imam more often than not is someone who has more understanding of the masail of salah, more understanding of the sunnats of salah, more understanding in terms of quality of salah. Naturally when a person is given the responsibility of imam, he pays more attention to his salah. Now because he is our representative to present our salah in the court of Allah Ta'ala, we gain all those benefits to some degree as well. For example, and if you want to go into specifics, for example, sometimes our tajweed is not of the level. If our tajweed is of the level, then we don't know what the sunnah qira'ah is, or we don't have the necessary memorization to read the sunnah qira'ah. The imam does it, so we gain the reward of all of that. Our salah is boosted to that level as well. Number 9, shade of the throne on the day of resurrection. And number 10, protection from shaitan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that I'm explaining my own words. First, he says that if there is even two people, he said there are even two people or three people, and they're not near masjid, they're somewhere out in the countryside, and time for salah comes, then they should perform salah with jama'ah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he explained, I'm giving my own words, that the person who performs salah alone, he's like a sheep who has become separate from the herd. And when the wolf comes hunting for food, then it always tries to find the lone sheep, because it knows this is an easier target. The shepherd doesn't have his eye on him. There is no herd with it to handle. So in the same way, the person who performs salah alone, shaitan is the wolf, and for him that is an easy target. So those are some benefits of salah with jama'ah. So let us make it a point. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice upon this.